Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us for a Basic Conversation. I'm sitting across from theologian Father Jim Basic, and it's always great to be here with you. We're in our third season. They keep asking us to come back. What do you think?
I'm glad, yeah. I like these podcasts. Some of my friends and colleagues tell me they actually listen to them, and they listen to them when they're taking a walk or driving in the car or the passenger in the car. And some say they listen to them when they to overcome their inability to sleep, insomnia. It's a cure, supposedly a cure for insomnia. But yeah, I people email me and say they heard this out in the West Coast or all over the place.
And this season three, we are focusing on theologians, philosophers that have had an impact on the Catholic Church, society, and in some cases you personally. And today we're going to talk about Hans-Urs von Balthasar.
Hans-Urs von Balthasar, yeah.
I'm just going to say Balthasar now.
Yeah, that's for the rest of the way we'll both do better that way. Balthasar. Yeah.
Balthasar. Yeah. And he was a Swiss Catholic theologian. But why don't you take it from there and give some background on his life and some of his history.
Yeah. First, he was I never met him, by the way. He was a colleague of my mentor, Karl Rahner. So what's important about his life? First of all, he was a brilliant man. He knew the Christian tradition better than almost anybody, even better than my mentor, Karl Rahner. I mean, he's just absolutely, he was a classical pianist. He knew all of Mozart's scores by heart. He didn't need the sheet music. He was a classic pianist. Just a brilliant theologian. And he had, early on in his life, I think he was about 18 years old, he was introduced to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. Now, that's a classic work, spiritual exercises, by the founder of the Jesuits, and is extremely influential on all Jesuits. They make a 30-day retreat. I've lived with the Jesuits in different places, in Oxford and in New York and so on, and I can tell you that all the Jesuits are influenced by the spiritual exercises. It's part of their makeup. It's part of their outlook. They refer to it all the time in their preaching and so on. And what spiritual exercises, the way Balthasar experienced it was, it calls upon you to meditate on life, gospel stories of Jesus. Let's put it that way. I'm simplifying some of this, but so that Balthasar was meditating, reflecting on stories of Jesus, and it changed him. And I think in his words that he has in some places, he fell in love with God.
That's when he was 18 and was on that retreat.
He's only 18 years old, yeah. And he falls in love with God, with all the depth and meaning and consequences of that. So shortly afterwards, he joins the Jesuits then. And Jesuits are so good at getting their people to have studies. I mean, they are the great scholars for a reason, because they're committed to giving their people time to study. When I was at Oxford living with the Jesuits, I met Jesuits from all over the world who had all the time that they needed to do their doctorate, to finish their dissertation. They were supported by the order. So there were reasons they became great scholars. And von Balthasar and my mentor, Karl Rahner, we became friends, and they worked together on a modern project for making Christianity and the Catholic tradition relevant to the modern world. That's what they were trying to do. and they worked together, and they had an outline for what they were going to do together, and Rahner continued on doing that, and von Balthasar decided at one point fairly into it that this is a useless project. This doesn't make any sense. We're trying to make Christianity relevant to the modern world. What we got to do is just make Christianity, celebrate it, see its goodness, see its beauty, and so on, and let the modern world learn from it. And he thought Rahner had made a terrible mistake, and that he had made a terrible mistake and gone in a wrong direction. And so at that point, Balthasar started his own project, off on his own. In fact, a friend of mine was at a party one time with von Balthasar, and he asked, he says, "Have you read Rahner's latest book?" And Balthasar looked at him quizzically and said, "Rahner's latest book? He hasn't written a new book in 30 years. Put down." It became acrimonious that they had been friends, and it became acrimonious. That little vignette sort of suggests. And the Balthasarians very often wanted to fight with us Rahnerians. And that occurred in my life on a number of occasions and so on, some public dialogues with Balthasarians, you know, didn't want to say, "Okay, you Rahnerians go your way, we'll go our way." No, they wanted to fight.
And their biggest point of contention was what?
That it was a fundamental error to try to make Christianity relevant to the modern world. It was selling out in a way. It was going in that direction too much. It's more complicated than that, but that's a simplified version of what fundamentally was wrong in their mind. And so they wanted to fight that and say, what we've got to do is present Christianity in its beautiful wholeness. And we want to go in a different direction. So let me try to... Von Balthasar finished his project. You know, Aquinas never finished his. Karl Barth never finished his. And von Balthasar, who was getting older, thought he'd never finish his, but he did. He wrote a trilogy, over 20 volumes. Well, that's in some of the English translations. That is a lot of volumes, let's put it that way. So he finished his project. And his project was, see if I can explain this in something that makes sense. When we think about approaches that theology takes, one of the things we try to do is defend the faith. You know, we have apologetics. I wrote a book, Apologetics and the Eclipse of Mystery. We defend it. It's truthful. The truth claims can be, Christianity is a true religion. The other thing we say is that there's a moral dimension. There's a goodness. How do we make the world not just know that it's true, but how do we make it good? The other traditional thing was beauty. So in the world, we can look at the world in terms of truth and goodness, but beauty. And von Balthasar's big thing is we've neglected beauty all the way along the line. And that his trilogy then is going to make beauty the central piece. And so his whole trilogy, and especially his first part of the trilogy, is the glory of God. Beauty is at the center of it. And he said, beauty is a good way to start because it attracts us. So if you're walking at night and there's a beautiful sunset and you look at it, it attracts you. Some beautiful statement in the Bible attracts you and you think about it. So he writes this whole first part of the trilogy, the glory of God, and all on the importance of beauty. And so let's just take some of where that takes us to some degree. When he talks about God, we might say God's greatest attribute is compassion. That's what some of the Eastern fathers said. What's the greatest about God? Compassion. What's greatest about God? Forgiveness. Von Balthasar said the greatest attribute of God is glory. So glory becomes the glory of the Lord. So what could, how could you think? In the Hebrew scriptures, the Israelites had a pillar of fire that led them. That's a manifestation of God's glory. Isaiah's in the temple. Poetic statesman, great figure, great prophet Isaiah. He has this grand vision, and it's of God's glory. And he says, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. That's, we say that at every Catholic Mass. Oh, holy, holy, holy. That's Isaiah experiencing the glory of God. So God is therefore the great artist. God is the great, God's glory shines through the world and so on. And it shines through especially Jesus Christ. So in for von Balthasar, Christ is the icon of the Father. God, Christ is the greatest artistic work of God. He's God's glory manifested in a concrete form, a man walking around with a mother and a father, gathering disciples, telling stories and so on, and crucified on the cross. That's a concrete form of God's glory. That's what God's glory looks like. And so von Balthasar would say, use artistic categories or aesthetic categories in talking about God. So Revelation is a beautiful love story of how God loves, so loves the world that he's going to save the whole world. In that love story, the great protagonist is Jesus Christ, is the protagonist of that love story. He's the one that moves the story forward and brings the story to conclusion and so on, or opens up a future for the story. So that you see what he's doing. Salvation is like a great symphony, that's got a beginning movement and maybe four movements and so on, and all coming together to present Christianity as a whole. And then when he talks about the Holy Spirit, it's often as the light. The Holy Spirit is what illumines our life. He lightens up our life. He helps us to see what's going on, to recognize the glory of God.
One of the things I've seen in your writings about Balthasar, you described his great push or emphasis on the contemplative spirit.
Yeah, that's a payoff, Brad. That could take us someplace.
I think so.
Yeah. In other words, one way of thinking of his contribution is that he's helping us to become more contemplative people. So we got a problem in our modern world, right?
Work. A lot of distractions.
We're all taken up in work, right? We got a danger of becoming workaholics. My spiritual director used to tell me I was a workaholic. I always said, no, I'm not a workaholic. In retrospect, maybe he was right. We get caught up in action, in doing, and so on. And we get distracted that way.
So for the doing for you as a priest, a theologian, would be pastoring,
yes,
lectures,
right,
articles, books, presentations.
But you can get over, you can do, try to do that so hard, work so hard at it and so consistently that you lose the contemplative spirit. Hmm. That's what von Balthasar is saying to us, that can't let that happen. And our technocratic world, technology, STEM in universities, it takes us away from contemplation of beauty. You know, we go to college to get a degree in some STEM aspect so we can get a good job and make a living and so on. So much of the world takes us away from that. So when Balthasar is saying, well, what we have to do is recover that contemplative spirit. And
we have to be intentional about that.
Great, great phrase, yeah. Have to work at it. You can't, it doesn't just happen in today's world. So that means a lot of different things for von Balthasar of how we're going to go about that. One thing is to be aware of beauty. So when you take your walk at night and the starry night, you know, sometimes look up into that starry night and say, Lord, there's trillions of galaxies, each with trillions of stars. Praise God. Or try to make Isaiah, I try to do this sometimes, try to make Isaiah's thing that we say at Mass. Well, what's that like to say, glory to God, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. You know, how can we cultivate that sort of sense generally so we can walk around with it? So one of the things that he suggests to us that in our prayer we should do more listening and less talking. Balthazar, oh yeah, some people get interested in Balthazar. There's a book you could read. It's just called Prayer. It summarizes a lot of his thoughts in ways that's understandable. Yeah, that's a, if any, you're interested in Balthazar, in beauty and contemplative spirit, try reading his little book, Prayer. The rest of it is probably you don't want to attack all of it unless you're a theologian. So read Prayer, and in there you get that. So he wants us to listen more, talk less, be open to God. He likes to think of us, try to think of yourself as the clay that the potter is molding. That's when the image, scriptural image of God is the potter. And so who are we? We're the clay. And now what you want to try to do is let God mold you. Let God shape you. Let God give you a definite form and so on.
It's a great metaphor.
Yeah. The potter, it's a good one, a powerful one. When he talks about scripture, what he wants us to do, he says, read scripture with an open heart and not a critical mind. So Balthazar used the scriptures not as modern scripture scholars tell us to do it. What's the meaning here? What's the purpose? And so on. He didn't do a lot of that sort of thing. Just read it with an open mind. Let it impact you. Let's see what it resonates with you. And he didn't like the Eastern meditation traditions. You know, I take this. I myself do transcendental meditation. And in transcendental meditation, what we're trying to do is clear our mind. We do breathing with the breath in and out, repeating a mantra, my Lord and my God. And he says, that's bad. that's going in the wrong direction. That's creating your own idol and so on. What you want to do in contemplation is what the spiritual exercises say to do. Meditate on the concrete Jesus, the universal absolute, the icon of the Father, the best artistic productions the Father has given us, all of those things. Meditate on the, fill your mind with ideas. Don't get your ideas out of your mind. So the Eastern meditation wants to clear the mind. Von Baller said, no, don't do that. In fact, he was negative about it. But what you got want to do is open your mind, open your heart to all these concrete images. I got something else that I don't want to miss in all this, but where are we at here on this thing?
We got time. Go ahead.
Yeah, are we? So I was trying to say, what is his advice for meditating, right? And we're going to listen more, right? We're going to, oh yeah, at Mass. He wants us, he says, he thinks we've been making a mistake in the modern liturgy, that we're trying to create community. And certainly that's true. We have the greeting of peace, right? We sing together. We say the Our Father together.
Churches are designed differently and more yeah. around. Versus,
yeah, yep. a lot of our emphasis is on creating community. And Von Baller says, well, we can get carried away with that. Mass, the Eucharist is not just to create community. We're there to worship God. And don't forget that. So make the liturgy that part of what we are about. If community happens, okay, but we're not there primarily to create community. We're gathered for the Eucharist in order to praise God, worship God, submit ourselves to God. I got places I want to go here yet.
I'd say go.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to work that in. You give me a clue. Yeah, I.
Well, how about this? Jesus is a manifestation of God's glory.
Yeah.
And Jesus' obedient acceptance of death on the cross and resurrection.
Yeah.
That meant something to Balthazar.
Yeah.
It goes back to your emphasis on Jesus' life.
Right.
And what
and
he
Jesus
represents.
Is the icon of the Father. Yeah. Von Balthasar had some controversial things that people. He was very influenced by a woman, Adrienne von Speyer. Adrienne von Speyer, he met as a young man after he was the spiritual exercise. She was a mystic. And she spent a lot of her writings talking about part of the creed, he descended into hell. She made a big thing out of Holy Saturday, not just Good Friday, Easter, but Holy Saturday, when Jesus descends into hell. Well, Balthasar was taking, he said that Adrienne and my thought are like parts of a whole. And he popularized her work, and a lot of people thought that he went overboard with all of that. Here's von Balthasar, bottom line, he thought that it was metaphysically impossible for women to be ordained priests. Metaphysically impossible. In other words, even if you had two bishops and the Pope and they laid hands on her, this woman, she wouldn't be ordained because she was not fit for it. It's called a complementarity theory of the sexes. And it works something like this, that Balthasar thought the act of intercourse was programmatic for the whole relationship between men and women. In the act of intercourse for him, he's saying, men are the active agent and women are passive. He did say actively passive, but to try to cover it a bit, the women. And he said that physical intercourse is the paradigm for all male-female interactions. And therefore, he said that one of his favorite images of the church is the bride of Christ. That is a biblical image.
The body of Christ and the bride of Christ.
And the body, yeah. Body of Christ and the bride of Christ. So he says that as the bride of Christ, the church is receptive of Christ's thing. And Christ is male, so only males can be this active force in making the church the bride of Christ. I mean, he's actually arguing this. It's called a complementarity theory, iconic theory, and so on. And I'd say one of the most unfortunate things about Pope Francis is that he buys that. Pope Francis, as much as he is my hero and does so many good things, he actually buys von Balthasar's complementarity theory. That's why, under Pope Francis, we'll never have women priests, because it's metaphysically impossible. I think that theory is wrong and destructive and too biological. I mean, it just... it's not even true to the physical act of lovemaking in terms of activity and passivity. So anyway, that's a major criticism of von Balthasar. that seems to me needs to be brought out. And we're not going to move forward in the Catholic Church now at this time in history under Pope Francis because he buys that complementarity theory.
But the overarching aspect, if we go back to the main takeaway, is that the need for that contemplative spirit.
Yeah. See, I like von Balthasar. I read his stuff. My last Christmas homily was based on von Balthasar. I said Christmas is a great feast of beauty. It's beautiful in the preparation and making cookies and the family decorating the tree and setting up the Christmas crib and putting lights outside the house. It's artistic work. It's beautiful. Drive through the neighborhood, beautiful lights and so on. So we prepare for Christmas, going to Mass in a beautiful way. We get there and we hear beautiful music. And more people sing than any other feast day because they know the hymn, Silent Night, and so on. It's beautiful. And the little girls are dressed up. You know, and families are feeling good. Families are getting along. It's beautiful. They're in harmony. They put aside their differences. And then we get these scripture readings. We read Isaiah that Christ is the Wonder Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the power of God in the world. And then what I drew on was Mother Teresa said, when we're going out of church, Mother Teresa said, do something beautiful for God. I threw in another line to it. That is Dostoevsky in his novel, The Idiot, has this line, beauty will save the world. Now, what does that mean? Beauty will save the world. It sounds utopian, sounds unrealistic. But beauty lifts our spirits. We feel better after we were at Christmas Mass, right? We can carry over for a couple days, maybe, or through the Christmas season. So that's my way of highlighting what Balthasar is all about.
Yeah, the power of beauty. Why don't we leave it right there? That's a great way to end our Balthasar conversation.
Thanks for giving me extra time, Brad.
You did great. It's your podcast. You can take it as long as you want. But thank you, Father Basic, again.